Welcome to the February 19th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most important stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin has kept on moving up throughout the night and this morning, and went as high as 39.75 maybe like an hour ago, or actually half an hour ago, and now it's at 39.30. So Bitcoin has rallied all the way from about 35.50. about 2 days ago, and it's kept on going up. And this is much different than previous rallies over the past about 2 months or so. Usually a rally would last like less than a day, and then it would decline and go below the level where it started rallying from. This time the rally has lasted more than a day, and it continues to rally. This is a very positive sign. It indicates that buy support is increasing, even though the price is increasing. So that's a bit of a perhaps speculative frenzy. It's probably kicked off by something fundamental. One of our pro traders here, Bill Noble, thinks it's actually like institutional investors finally jumping in, overwhelming any selling pressure. And at the same time, Bitcoin rising consistently is going to start making people more confident to buy Bitcoin now so they can get in on the rise. Because remember, Bitcoin used to be $20,000. And throughout Bitcoin's history, it has always hit its all-time high again. And that's been the expectation. Even in the worst of the bear market, the old Bitcoiners like me have thought that Bitcoin will hit 20,000 again one day, and it's all the way down at like 3,100 during the low of the bear market. So that was a really good time to buy, and this might not be the worst time to buy either. Might be decent, because eventually Bitcoin might just rally really hard. Because Bitcoin can move quick, like going from 3,550 to like almost 4,000 in like 2 days. And basically the 2017 rally, late 2017, was like this every day apparently, until it hit 20,000. So I'm not sure yet if we're at the precipice of a major rally here. Probably it's not going to go straight up. Usually, during a long-term Bitcoin rally, like the rally we saw starting in 2016 to 2017, like there's rallies like this, it levels off, and then there's another rally like this, levels off, and then there's a bigger rally. So it's not going to be like a straight-up shot. But this could be a really good sign. It's actually too soon to call the bottom low. We're going to need to see at least another rally or two, probably like two or three rallies like this actually strung together over the course of like a month or two in order to say, yeah, the bottom was in mid-December at 3,100. So I'm not calling the bottom yet. A lot of people have called the bottom multiple times throughout this bear market. I bet people are calling the bottom right now, actually. That's almost guaranteed that someone out there is saying, yeah, that was the bottom. We got to wait a little while to confirm that, I would say. You never know what's going to happen. Bitcoin could be very volatile. So the rest of the cryptocurrencies are doing very good as well. In fact, they're doing better than Bitcoin today. The total crypto market cap rose from $121 billion to like $132, $133 billion yesterday. And now, today, it's gone up as high as $136 billion. Yeah, it's at $136 billion market cap right now. So it's continued to go up. It went up like another $5 billion overnight, the market cap. And it's fluctuating a bit. It might be actually 135 right now because I'm just looking. Bitcoin just went down to 39.15. So now that there's price action, Bitcoin and the crypto space is quite volatile, even though it's mostly going up. Ethereum is up 3%, and it's at $148 now. That's a big difference. Remember, it used to be below $100 not so long ago during the worst of the bear market. So now it's gone up like over 50%, basically. $15.6 billion market cap. Ethereum is way ahead of Ripple now. Ripple's back at a $14 billion market cap. It's going up as well. It's up 7% in the past 24 hours, near 34 cents. And also, one thing to keep in mind of Ripple is 59 billion Ripple XRP is held by like Ripple Labs. So every time it goes up 1 cent, they make like $5.9 billion. So it's gone up a few cents in the past like day or two, past couple days. So they've made like technically tens of like over $10 billion. Of course, they can't cash it out instantly. But one thing to remember about Ripple is they have a very centralized supply. And oftentimes when Ripple goes up really quick, they end up dumping right on it. Like they could dump about 1 billion XRP per month. That's like the max they could dump per month. And that's enough to crash the market when they do it. Ethereum and Bitcoin are decentralized supplies. Like there's no central organization holding so much of the coins. So yeah, Ethereum has that Constantinople hard fork coming up in just over a week now. And it's going to be interesting to watch how that plays out. If it goes off without a hitch this time, that might be very good news. Even though it reduces block rewards from 3 Ether to 2 Ether, which is bad for the miners, that's actually good for the inflation rate. Like, it'll make the inflation rate go down. And already the inflation rate is going down because of the difficulty bomb going off. Like, the block times are getting much longer. It'll probably be around, like, 25 seconds by the time the fork comes. Right now it's over 20 seconds already, and it started at 14 seconds, so the amount of mining revenue has been going down drastically in recent weeks as the difficulty bump goes up, and also the transaction fees are rising a bit. But then that fork will come and reset it to 14-second block times, but with less of a block reward. Long-term, they're trying to disenfranchise the Ethereum miners, but nothing is set in stone yet. But this time, they're disenfranchising them a little bit by lowering that block reward. But it's better for the miners to actually switch to the fork, because they're making less now because of the difficulty bomb. So if they switch to the Constantinople fork, they'll actually be making more revenue relative to what it is right now because of the difficulty bomb going up, making the revenues go down like every 2 weeks by a lot. EOS has been a huge winner. It's up 15% in the past 24 hours, and it was up even more yesterday. It was up like over 20% yesterday, so it's at $3.66 now, $3.3 billion market cap. The EOS ICO was the biggest ICO on record. It was a $5 billion ICO, so it still has a ways to go until it actually reaches its ICO price or ICO value of like $5 billion. So everyone that's hodled EOS this long has still lost money overall, but of course people don't really hold cryptocurrencies that long. They'll sell if it goes up. Like EOS has been much higher than this, and they probably sold back then. But anyways, EOS is going up rapidly, and that's kind of like surprising. EOS was doing very poorly during the bear market, but then again, I guess if it does so poorly during the bear market, but there's still like a large user base and a large amount of investors interested in it, it has more room to go up when the bear market finally like lets go of its grip. So we still might be in the bear market, but there's like, right now, as of the past couple days, it doesn't really feel like the bear market. It feels like the bear market has backed away a bit. Litecoin is up 5%. Litecoin led that rally on February 8th, like 11 days ago, and that was like the rally that started this rise off the $3,100 level, basically. Like, so yeah, the long-term low for Bitcoin was $3,100, and then we had that rally on February 8th, which brought Bitcoin from $3,300 to like $3,600, and that rally was actually led by Litecoin. Litecoin went up like 30% that day. And Litecoin's been doing decent since then. Now it's up 5% in the past 24 hours. Bitcoin Cash, another surprising upward mover, is up 9%. So a lot of people are writing off Bitcoin Cash, including me, ever since the fork in mid-November. But once again, maybe it's the principle of like, hey, it went down so much. Like it was over $600 before the fork, and then it crashed all the way below 100. So it went down so much that it has more room to go up once things get positive like they are now. So that's kind of something we're seeing. And Stellar, which is similar to Ripple, is up 11% this morning. It's over 9 cents now, $1.7 billion market cap. Tron, TRX, was doing very well even before this rally started like the past couple days. Well, even before the February 8th rally, Tron was like the biggest winner of like basically January. Went up a lot, and then it was going sideways, but now it's going up again. It's up 4%, $1.7 billion market cap. Binance Coin is in number 10. It's up 4%. The Binance DEX testnet, I believe, launches tomorrow if all things are on track, and then the mainnet will go live soon after that. The Binance DEX could be the biggest decentralized exchange in the world because Binance is the biggest crypto exchange in the world, and the Binance DEX actually has its own blockchain, the Binance Chain, so that's pretty unique. And the only coin available on the Binance DEX for transaction fees is Binance Coin, BNB. So people are buying it up for use on the DEX, and also out of speculation that a lot of people will buy it up for the DEX. Cardano, ADA, is up 7.5%. We've been seeing these blockchain platforms like Cardano, Ethereum, and EOS do very well, and that's a positive sign. It seems like this rally over the past couple days has actually been led by like Ethereum, EOS, and Cardano, which is a sign that dApps might be like getting some positive speculation. Bitcoin SV up 4%. It's at $68. So Bitcoin SV was never doing very well since its launch. It's going up a bit with the rest of the crypto market. Of course, if everything else skyrockets, it seems Bitcoin SV will be along for the ride. Monero, XMR, the number one privacy coin, is up 4.5%, $52. It's still well below where it was. Monero's only $880 million market cap. So as of this moment, we have 12 cryptocurrencies above $1 billion market cap. And that will be an interesting number to watch. Like if we get another rally, watching how many cryptos are above a $1 billion market cap will be interesting to show the progression of the rally. Of course, there's no guarantee we'll rally beyond this. This could be the highest we get for a while or something like that. No one really knows where it's going to go. So don't get too excited. I'm not calling a major bull run yet. We're having a little bull run. It's too soon to say if the bears are going to come back or not. IOTA is up 6.4%. Dash, up 7.2%. So, like, everything's basically going up today as well. And that's, like, the first time in a while, like I said at the beginning of the show, first time in a while we've seen, like, 2 days in a row where it's just very bullish. And that's a very positive sign. Dogecoin up 1.6%. Dogecoin has not really been rallying as much as everything else, but it's still rallying nonetheless. And I also saw, I talked about Burstcoin a lot on some previous shows and in some articles on Crypto.IQ. Burstcoin's going up as well, but it's kind of similar to Dogecoin. It's not going up as much as everything else. But I think Burstcoin's going to be here to stay. It's one of the kings of cryptocurrencies. What are the kings of cryptocurrencies? Well, we got Bitcoin's obviously the king. And then we got Litecoin's the king of script. Ethereum's the king of the dApps. IOTA's the king of directed cyclic graph. Monero's the king of privacy coins. Dash is the king of X11 masternode cryptocurrencies. And then we got Burst in there, is the king of proof of capacity. Alright, so moving on to an interesting story today. So Bitmain has been doing very poorly. So Bitmain was like the biggest crypto mining manufacturer in the world. Like, they produce the mining rigs. And they tried to do an initial public offering on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Apparently that's still in play. Like, they're trying still. Because that would raise them a tremendous amount of money, maybe. In the past, it was thought that it would be like a really huge IPO. But now, like, if they actually had an IPO, it might be, like, kind of meager because people might be scared. Depending on how this rally goes. Like, let's say Bitcoin rallies a bunch, like, over the next month, like it has been over the past couple days. Then the Bitmain IPO might be very exciting because Bitmain could go all the way back to where they were. Then again, if the crypto market goes back into a strong bear market, their IPO might get rejected and never happen. So they lost $500 million, according to their filing, in the third quarter of 2018. And that's not even including the fourth quarter, which was pretty bad, like, really, really bad. So Bitmain probably lost a tremendous amount of money, and I think it's interesting how they have not published Q4, because Q4 might be the worst quarter for Bitmain, because a lot of miners started taking their rigs offline during Q4, and Bitmain probably sold nothing, and they had like tremendous amounts of inventory that they were not able to sell, and then also they lost a ton of money on their holdings of cryptocurrency, so they just published Q3, and Q3 they lost $500 million, so they probably lost like a lot more in Q4 even. So Bitmain's not looking so good. But we're probably seeing the Bitcoin mining hash rate rise up a bit now, as the price has now gone back near $4,000. That's enough to make the hash rate start rising. Like, literally, there's a ton of mining machines offline. So if Bitcoin's price rises, like, people will switch on their mining machines. I'm looking right now. The mining hash rate has been as high as, like, 47 exahash per second over the past day or so. And that's off of a low of like 31 exahash per second in mid-December, early December, when that bear market low happened. So it is rising. And once everyone switches back on their mining rigs, which is like, there's about 60 exahash per second of mining rigs according to the data, and a lot of them have been switched off. But if they all get switched back on, then Bitmain will be able to start selling new mining rigs to people. But for now, most people don't want mining rigs. By the way, right as I'm talking, just to show how volatile the market is, it was at like 39.15 a minute ago. Now it's at 4,000. It just hit 4,000 while I'm talking for a second. And then went right back to 39.40. This is really volatile. This is classic Bitcoin volatility today. So all the prices I just told you, yeah, everything's up, but it's all changing like really quick. So this is the first time it hit 4,000 during this rally. And it's not the highest it's been in 2019. In fact, the 2019 high was around 4,100, so that's an important level to watch. If we can exceed 4,100, then we're at new highs for 2019, and that'll be very optimistic. Perhaps that's possible today if the bull run continues. One more news story of the day is that Coinbase has acquired a blockchain analysis firm called Neutrino. They're like a startup, but I'm sure they're going to be doing well now because Coinbase bought them. It'll be like pretty much the blockchain forensics arm of Coinbase. And I'm sure Coinbase was using blockchain forensics before, but they were probably buying it from a third party. Now they're going to have it in-house. What that means is if you send Bitcoin from your Coinbase account, they're going to be able to track it, and they're going to make sure you're not buying drugs with it or sending it to the Silk Road. And also, they're going to make sure that Bitcoin that's being deposited is not from, like, illegal proceeds or hacked. Like, there's a lot of cases where people, like, steal Bitcoins from an exchange, and then they send it to another exchange to cash it out. Coinbase will be on top of that. I'm sure they already were on top of it, but now they're going to have it in-house, and it'll be easier than ever for them to like track where the Bitcoins are going, or the Ethereum, etc. So some people might not like this. In fact, all the old Bitcoiners are like, oh man, I don't even want to use an exchange anymore. Like, I don't even, me personally, like, I've never done anything bad with Bitcoin, but like, I don't like the fact that these exchanges are tracking every little movement of Bitcoin. My wife just said, how is this different than a bank? And she's totally right. Like, the whole point of Bitcoin is to be, like, anonymous, decentralized money, or, like, pseudo-anonymous. And that was cool. Like, you're not having everyone track your stuff. But now it's like a bank. When you're using Coinbase, you're basically using a bank that could freeze your account, that could track your stuff. And it's almost like peer-to-peer Bitcoin dealing is better, but they made it, like, pretty much almost illegal to deal large amounts. I think if you deal, like, a certain amount of Bitcoin below a certain amount, like, if you do a transaction with a friend for, like, less than, like, $600 or something, you don't have to report it. But other than that, you need a money service business registration and a money transmitter license. So it's kind of like we've seen a huge change in the Bitcoin space from being like peer-to-peer where people are dealing it to each other and it's pretty anonymous actually overall to like now you have centralized exchanges that are pretty much banks. That's a disturbing trend and we'll see how this plays out long-term. That's all we have for you today on this February 19th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also, join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They made like over 280% profits since July 2018, and that was like during the worst of the bear market. I can only imagine how much they're going to make now that there's so much bullish activity. So you should join that trading desk, and you can actually see the expert traders' trades in real time. They have like full analysis. You can learn a lot just from reading it, and you can even just follow their trades and make money without like even learning about it or working much on it. But if you want to like become an expert trader yourself, you could ask them questions in real time and they'll answer all of your questions. So, and now there's a 14-day free trial as well, so you can just try this out for 2 weeks for free and I'm sure you're going to love it. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.